Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. And we are now joined, it's our honor to be joined in studio by the Admiral David Robinson, one of the all-time great NBA players here on behalf of Verizon. We'll get to that here momentarily, NBA draft tonight. David, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me out here, guys. A nice early morning with y'all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. David, let's start here. There's a lot to get into with you. I mean, from the draft for these young guys, you know, 18 now, 19 years of age, they're getting set to begin their professional careers. Yeah. You know, your advice, legendary player, been there, done that, coming out of Navy, was a, you know, unbelievable college player as well. Yeah. Coming into the NBA, what you were able to accomplish, what advice would you have for the young basketball player coming into this league now?
I always love to give advice to people when they don't ask me for it, but if I were to talk to them, I'd just say, look, be patient. I mean, you know, especially now with the guys coming in younger, their expectations are high. Right, and you're going into a league now where, you know, in college, you were maybe the best athlete or at least one of the best athletes on the floor, but now you're not. You know, yeah. Every single person on that floor is as big and as strong, as fast as you are.
And so, they're grown men.
Yeah, they're grown men.
They're not kids.
So, you know, it's now the mental challenge becomes the big hurdle for them. And so I would tell them, look, it's a different game. Take your time, man. Get in there. Figure it out. You know, be a professional. Because that's going to be the toughest part of the game now. It's not going to be the physical anymore.
Right.
You can
run
up and down all day, but they all can. So now get mentally tough in how you approach the game and how you prepare day in and day out, and that's going to make the difference for you.
You think sometimes, like we were talking earlier, Moose and I, about how young, we're talking about like Begley and DeAndre, these kids are 19 years old, and they're going to come in now tonight. They're going to go in and almost, in essence, be instant millionaires, and they're not even 21, 20 years old.
Yeah, no.
I mean, and you as a dad, we were told during the break, you know, how do you think, right, from a parental perspective as a former pro athlete and a great like yourself, how do you keep them grounded, man, with all that money?
Oh, no, it is tough. I mean, it's a lot being thrown at them at once. You know, I can't say I always handled everything as it possibly would be handled. So, I mean, you know, it's for most of them, though, they realize they're still on the upslope. They still got a lot of work to do. And so I think that's where you just keep them focused because, you know, money and idleness is where you get in trouble, right? So if you're still working hard and you still understand, man, I got a job, I got expectations, I got to get out there and perform, you know, then I think they can handle it and take it slow. You know, once you get out there and start saying, man, I'm going to party, I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to, you know, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, you let it get to you.
David, absolutely. How about the big man in the NBA? You know, the center, right? DeAndre Ayton's going to go number one overall tonight to Phoenix, right? You've got Marvin Bagley the third. You've got Wendell Carter. Yeah. You've got Mo Bamba out of Texas. And certainly look at the way Embiid's been able to play down in Philadelphia with the 76ers. But the game has also changed. You know, it's not back to the basket Patrick in New York or Akeem Olajuwon get the ball down low.
Right.
What about the big man in today's day and age of the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, they're coming into an interesting NBA now where the three-point shot kind of rules. And, you know, you got a lot of guards dominating the ball. So it's a different era. But, like you said, you bring in some talented guys like that, it'll change back. And it'll change back in a hurry. Because, you know, if you have a talented guy like Embiid, you're going to build your team around him.
Sure.
You have a guy like Anthony Davis, you're going to build your team around him, or Karl Anthony Towns. So now you're starting to see this new generation of big guys. I was fortunate. I came along with some great ones.
You did.
Yeah. And so now you're starting to see these young guys. But the problem is they're so young.
They are.
You know, how many years has Anthony Davis been in? And he's getting his, you know, he's finding
he's starting
his
to find himself. He's starting to stay healthy, too.
Getting his sea legs under him now.
Exactly.
Finally,
Anthony was like a freak of nature at his, you know, he was fantastic. And very few guys are at that level.
Right.
So, you know, you think some of these guys, you know, a guy like DeAndre Ayton, you know, I don't know if I'd put him in the category of Anthony Davis, but he's still a really good, but he's raw.
Yeah.
You know, he's still
young, he's a kid.
I mean, how many years are we away from him really finding his groove? So you know, it's, I do think this young group of bigs will begin to take over, but
it's going
to
take time.
We're a few years away from
time. Yeah. So Dave, for you, like, if you were still playing today, because it's a different NBA, right?
Yeah,
it's a totally different game. Not totally different, but, you know, it's different.
Is.
How do you think you would handle playing in today's game if you could kind of push your career towards this day and age now?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it would be, for me, I love this. I love getting up and down the floor. I like a lot of possessions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being an athlete, you want to get those possessions. You know, I wasn't a big back-to-the-basket kind of guy. I'm playing against guys who were all, you know, 30, 40 pounds heavier than me. You know, I mean, everyone that I looked at, I came in at 235. You know, my first 8 years of the league, I was 235. So you're playing against, you know, Patrick, what, 265, 270. You know, there's Mark Eaton's 300.
Yeah,
you know, Shaq's 325.
Monsters,
you know, so for me, my speed and my activity is really what gave me opportunity. So, you know, today's game is about speed and activity.
Being an athlete.
It would work well for me.
You know, David, when you were down in San Antonio, they also, you know, they brought Duncan aboard, right? And your relationship, I think I remember reading a quote where you said, you know, Duncan was probably the best thing that ever happened to you down in San Antonio. What?
Unbelievable.
How difficult, though, when you look at when did you know Duncan was going to develop and was going to be what he eventually became as an NBA player?
Yeah, I mean, you knew right away. I think when maybe his senior year or his junior year or something, I was with the USA team in 96, and we played against a college team in an exhibition game, and Timmy played against me, Shaq, and Akeem, and had like 22-10 and made the game look so easy. Yeah. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, this guy is going to be really good. But, you know, we were a good team, and there was no way I thought we would have a shot at getting Tim. And lo and behold, that year I got hurt, and we ended up in the lottery, and we drafted him. I thought, oh, are you kidding me, man? This is going to change our team. This is fantastic. So I knew when I saw him in college, I knew he was one of the most composed and mature big guys that had come out of college in a while. So we all kind of knew he's gonna be really good.
How did you as a established star, knowing Duncan was gonna be a great, how did you welcome him in terms of the transition into the NBA?
Well, you know, I tried to make the game as easy for him as possible. You know, I understood that the pressure is what changes you, right? So he came into a good situation where there was no real pressure for him. I mean, he came in, and so, you know, I'm already established there, and if, you know, good or bad, I was going to take the brunt of the pressure. He wasn't really going to have to take it. And so he got a chance to just play his game. I mean, it didn't matter.
That's a big thing right there, because it loosens it up for him, for Duncan.
It's a big deal. If you come out one night and you score 8 points,
right,
and as opposed to the next night you have 22, you know, you're not going to catch the same kind of heat.
No.
You know, whereas, No, me, I got to be consistent. I mean, that was what the expectation was. So I think it made it a little bit easier for him. And he was, but he was great. I mean, not that he needed it much help. I mean, he's just a ridiculous player. But that's why I just tried to bring him in and say, look, let's go work out in the summertime, man. Let's figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to work together. And he's I mean, you guys know him. I mean, he's a great guy.
So you took that initiative to build that chemistry with him, right?
Absolutely. I looked at it as a positive. I think, you know, sometimes guys look at it as competition, and they look at it as they're going to take my, whatever. You know,
my,
if you got a Shaq and a Kobe, or
you
got guys who are like, hey, this is my team. Like, wait. It's our team, man. Like, how is it your team? It's our team.
But, you know, that gets lost, right, with a lot of elite athletes when other guys come in, because it's, you know, it's so ultra-competitive.
Yeah.
And you want to stay on top. It's ego-driven. We know that,
well,
right?
Well, part of what makes you great is your drive, right? Like, you're an alpha dog, right?
Of course.
So, I mean, that was what was unusual about the Dream Team. You know, you bring all those guys together, everybody's, like, peeing on their side of the court. Like, you can't – how do you play basketball when everybody's peeing on the court? You know, it's like – so, I mean, but that was an unusual situation where guys were so willing to kind of help each other and play together. And that's what made that so amazing. But, You get to be great because you don't want anybody coming in your space.
That's it. No matter what, not just the NBA. That's
anywhere,
the
right?
Sporting world. I mean,
you see it in business too, right?
Sure.
Like if you don't help the young guys and train them, then you're not building a good business. You're
right.
not building
right.
a good culture.
Right.
So I mean, for me, it was kind of a no brainer. Bring the guy in, you let him do what he can do. I mean, it doesn't threaten me. I'm still going to do what I can do.
Right.
What's the biggest thing you take away for playing for the United States for the Dream Team?
Oh man, that was number one. It was just a great level of basketball, right? Like you go out and you want to be in a situation where you can pass it to guys. Everybody's making smart plays. It was just a lot of fun playing basketball with that group. So that was number one. But number two was you knew it was a historical moment, right? Mm. Rarely do you step into a moment you know everybody's going to remember.
Sure.
But that team, like we all knew it was very special. So just living with that group and saying, our kids and their kids are going to look back and see this group as kind of a transition for basketball as a whole. That was the best part about it.
It had to be kind of cool for you, too, coming out of Naval Academy, too.
Think about that, being with those guys, it was like being with the Beatles or something. You know, it's like everywhere
you're back
we
in
went.
Annapolis
yeah.
again.
Everywhere we went, people are, it was fantastic. It was just a tremendous experience.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you mentioned culture before, but talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, Dave, about the culture that Coach Pop has built down there in San Antonio.
Man, fantastic. And R.C. Buford's a big part of that as well. I mean, RC and Pop have been a team for a long time, and those guys understand, they understand preparation, they understand, scouting and planning. They've really done some amazing job getting the right picks in there, kind of getting rid of a lot of the foolishness and the nonsense that sometimes can surround your team. I mean, we have a lot of – last year was a little bit full of drama, but – for 25 years now, we've pretty much avoided the foolishness.
Yeah.
So I give those guys a lot of credit. I mean, Pop is as a coach, he's grown a lot. I mean, as a young coach, kind of figuring out how to relate to the guys and how to get guys to play. But what a great track record over the last 25 years.
With that being said, David, we were talking about during the course of the break a little bit. Everyone wants to know, what's going on with Kawhi?
Yeah, well, good question. That's the problem. like nobody knows.
Right,
yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. If you were trying to plan a succession plan, this was a dream. It was a dream for everybody, right? You go from me to Tim Duncan, and then now you've got this great young player, and so it seemed to make sense. I don't know when it stopped making sense, but it seemed to make a lot of sense. But, I think you would think if you were a young player, who would you want to go get trained by? You got Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, you got Tim Duncan, you've got Greg Popovich.
It's great leadership.
Where would you want to go?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seemed like a great situation, a great opportunity. And somewhere along the way, I think communication got broken down. When people don't talk, people start guessing.
Yeah.
And when you start guessing, that's when problems come in. And so I think one thing that Pop and RC are usually pretty good about is sitting down and talking to guys. We don't buy the media stuff. We're like, hey, look, we got a problem. Let's sit down and let's figure this thing out unless it blows up into something that it shouldn't be. And I think, you got a young guy like Kawhi who – not big on talking.
he's very, very quiet.
I've known him for a long time,
right.
5 or 6 years, and he said 2 or 3 words to me. He's not a big talking guy, but that's, if you don't talk, things are going to get out of hand.
And, and out of San Antonio, I mean, a lot of folks down there with the squad were talking, and he wasn't. And I, as a former athlete, I'm wondering if you're thinking – maybe he felt like his toughness was questioned because of his quad. He should be coming back. He's clear, but he's not back. And, I'm sure you've had injuries where just because a trainer says you're ready to come back, your body.
No, I mean, like I said earlier, it at this level, it's all mental, right? Like if you don't handle the mental aspect of this game, you're going to fall apart in the pros. I mean, that's where you got to be toughest. And so, fortunately, San Antonio's been a great situation where guys get supported mentally Pop does a good job of taking pressure off of you. Timmy Duncan did a great job of taking pressure off. There was a lot of ways that you could kind of blend in and figure it out. But You know, but everybody's wired differently, you know. Sure. Not everybody's going to come, you know, just fall right in line and be like, yeah, okay, this is exactly what I want. Like, well, you know.
But, you know, from the outside, you look at all the positives of San Antonio, it's to play to your point, David, is why would a guy want to leave there? Let me do you think from your perspective, right, and you still live in San Antonio, do you think the relationship between Kawhi Leonard, Popovich, and R.C. Buford, do you think it's repairable?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they have a good relationship. But the problem is when you don't talk every day, you know, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm hearing from this person or right, I'm hearing from this person, and I want to hear from you. I want to know what's going on, and we want to sit down. So I think that was part of the challenge, and you know, I do think it's repairable. I still think that there is a good relationship there. I still think that there's a, you know, I think I'm maybe a little bit on the outside looking in as more so than before, but I think between Pop and Kawhi, you know, there's a high level of respect there both ways. So, you know, when there is that respect, it's repairable.
We're talking to David Robinson here on behalf of Verizon. Tell us a little bit, big NBA draft night tonight, David. Ooh, tell us what Verizon's got cooking and how you're working with Verizon this evening.
Well, Verizon's got a great way for you if you can't be at the draft, which unfortunately I'm going to be here. But if you can't be here, you know, you can stream it live on Verizon and, you know, just a great opportunity for people to be involved in the action.
Best and most reliable network, so check it out. Verizon does a fantastic job. Great, certainly a fantastic network, and they'll be streaming the draft tonight. David, one more on Kawhi Leonard. I know outside looking in, do you think start of the NBA season, do you think Kawhi Leonard is a Spur?
I pray that Kawhi Leonard is a Spur. He's been such a great part of our team. I mean, and the fans love him.
I was just saying, the fan base down there, too, they
love him.
Even though he hasn't been playing, they still love him.
We understand what a value he is to our team. I mean, so, even our family, everybody, we're confused. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
none
of us want to lose him, and there's no way you can get the value back for a guy like Kawhi. There's just no way.
No way, yeah.
So, and what all, you know, has been built in learning how to win and, you know, attitude, team attitude and all that sort of stuff. So,
listen, you got to call. You got to get on the phone with Pop and say, listen, dude, what's the deal? Get the lowdown,
well,
Dave.
You know
Come on.
No, I know those guys. They're working hard. I mean, that's what
they do,
right?
Teasing, like,
so, but I think it's, you know, as a fan, as a, you know, former team guy, my dream, my hope is that they figure it out.
They patch it up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I keep reading what's happening in the media, I get more and more discouraged. But in reality, it's about people.
I got an extra one question. Bron, where's he going? I say Philly.
Man.
He's saying L.A.
That's a great
question.
What do
you think, man? I say Philly. I don't know. I still stay
man,
Philly.
Man, oh, man. You know, what do you expect a guy from San Antonio to say?
I got it. No problem.
We're trying to build our team. So
I feel you.
If he stays in the East, it doesn't bother me. But if he comes out West, there's only one place I'd rather see him if he comes out West.
Silver and black.
That's exactly right. David, you were on the greatest team ever, greatest collection of talent ever, right?
Well, thanks. Yeah.
LeBron or Michael?
Ooh,
who would you rather have as your teammate?
Yeah, you know what? That is a great question. You know, Michael was a singular, unique beast in and of himself. You know, I mean, being around that guy, everything about him was about winning, and he had a knack for rising to the occasion at the crunch time. You know, and now I'm seeing that from LeBron. I mean, the stuff he's doing is, I mean, come on. I mean,
it's
the last couple
clutch,
of the
clutch,
finals
clutch.
Is just for a guy to take on that type of pressure. And to perform at the level he's performed is
so inspiring.
It's incredible. I mean, you'd obviously like to see that team win more. I mean, you know, that then it would kind of all come together in a way, like for Michael it did. But at the same time, gosh, he's making a good. I would have said Michael all day long a few years ago, he's making a heck of an argument for himself now. He's done it for a long time.
David, final one for me, and that is 99. Did you have to beat the Knicks? I understand it was your first NBA title. I mean, you're on the dream team. You're a legendary player, Hall of Famer. Did you have to take care of business against the Knicks as quickly as you did?
You guys
strike
know.
Short in season. Couldn't you provide a little bit of hope to the Knicks in that series, David?
Those championships come few and far between. I'm telling you. You got to win every one you can. That's all I can say.
I mean, you took care of business. There was no hope, David. There was no hope.
I wasn't even playing, and I'm still stinging about that loss when Ray Allen hit that jump shot from the court. I'm still mad about that, so I'm just saying. They're hard to win.
They are. It broke my heart that series. David Robinson, legendary NBA player, and working with Verizon. Check out the NBA draft tonight. David is here on behalf of the most reliable network, Verizon, and they're helping customers keep up with the action by allowing them to stream the draft live on their mobile devices, no matter where you are. NBA draft this evening. Hey, David, certainly our pleasure. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of fun.
You got it. David Robinson, legendary NBA player. Thanks for a couple minutes as we roll right along here. Taz of the Moose with you on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.